The first reading today, we hear about Naaman the Syrian. He had this little slave girl from Israel. There are several fascinating things to look at in this. Number one, the fact that he would listen to this little girl. This is an army general. He has a little slave. And when the slave says, if you would just go to Israel, to the prophet, he would heal you. And the man goes directly to the king and says, hey, my little slave said that if I go over to Israel, I can be healed. That he listened to her and he believed her. Then when he comes, eventually, again, we hear about the nonsense with the king, but then when he comes finally to Elisha, notice that the prophet doesn't come out. So he says to the king, send him to me so that he will realize that there is a prophet in Israel. But it's not just that Naaman would realize that there is a prophet in Israel, it's that the king would realize that there's a prophet in Israel, and so would the people. So Naaman comes, but he's already got this idea, as we hear about all the gifts that he's bringing along and all the stuff. This man is going to heal me. This man has no power to heal anyone. He's a prophet of the Lord. The Lord would heal him. And so Elisha doesn't even come down to see the man. He just simply sends word through his own servant, tell him to go to the Jordan and plunge in 7 times. Well, this isn't what the man expected. No, I thought he was going to come and he was going to wave his hand over the spot and all these different things that he's talking about. Again, he wants everyone to know that this is the Lord at work. He's not a magician who's going to do something extraordinary here. It's not smoke and mirrors. It is the reality of God. But what is important is also to recognize, even as the Lord makes clear in the gospel, the people in Israel didn't believe. The king didn't believe. The people didn't believe. That's why Naaman would actually have to say to the king, send me so you can realize there is a prophet in Israel. Well, a prophet's never accepted in his own country, Jesus said. They didn't accept Elisha. They're not accepting Jesus either. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And then when he challenged them, what was their reaction? They all rose up in fury. Because obviously they were already convinced of their own extraordinary holiness. We are the people of God, after all. Who are you to tell us that we don't believe? We're the chosen people. Because they knew they were the chosen people, they didn't believe, because they didn't have to. God chose me, so I don't have to choose God. I've been told the same thing from the priests over in Rome. He said the people in Rome just have this attitude that, we can do anything. St. Peter's going to save us on the last day. He'll take care of us. Good luck. So we have to be very careful now because we have been given the fullness of the truth. And do we believe it? And let's be honest with ourselves. The answer is no. Remember, Jesus told us, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be uprooted and it would go. It's not happening. When we look at the disaster in the church and in the world right now, it's because of an absolute and total lack of faith. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is without faith. But when we realize that more than three quarters of people who call themselves Catholic don't believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, we have a total lack of faith. What else are you going to believe in? If that's not Jesus, why would you believe in anything that he said? Well, I guess we don't, do we? So why do we come to Mass? So that we can feel good about ourselves? Or are we here to worship him, to love him, and to recognize our dependence on him? That he's not just a prophet, that he is God. That's what we have to be able to understand. And if he is truly God, which he is, then how should I be living my life in accordance with that? So it's something, again, for us to look at. I mean, even this pagan man, Naaman the Syrian, when he realizes that he's been healed, notice that what he says. He doesn't say, "Oh, the prophet healed me." He said, "Now I know there is no other God in all the world except in Israel. There is no other God, period. There is only one." We're really, really good at giving him lip service. Where are our hearts? Again, when we listen to what Jesus said, the prophet Elijah, God sent him to a pagan. He said, "There were many widows in Israel, but to none of them was Elijah sent, but only to this pagan woman, because she had faith. As the Lord your God lives," she said. And she put her confidence in the Lord. Would we have that kind of faith? Would we have even the faith that Naaman had? If some little girl said to you, "Oh, just do this," you go, "Oh, okay, good idea." No, we're probably not. Think about the effort it took for this man. He didn't have cars, you know, so to be able to get from where he was to Israel, that was a bit of a challenge. He was willing to do what he needed to do. How many of us look at things and say, "Oh, it's inconvenient"? Because it's inconvenient, we just don't want to do it. So we acknowledge that the Lord is God, but we don't live it sometimes. So again, something for us to think about. The prophet's never accepted in his own country. What are we going to say about God? Because the prophet is just a human person whom God has chosen. Jesus said, "Whoever receives you receives me." It means whoever rejects you rejects me. If we don't accept the prophet, we're not going to accept God who sent him. So again, something for us to think about. Look at the disposition in our own hearts and ask ourselves about that faith. And not the objective parts of the faith, as I keep saying. We all believe what the Catechism says. That is, we all know what the Catechism says in our heads. Do we believe it in our hearts? Are we really willing to put this into practice? Do we really trust God? Do we really have confidence in God? For most of us, when push comes to shove, the answer is no. We don't like to hear that. We're going to rise up in fury, just like the people in the synagogue at Nazareth. But let's at least be humble and look at it honestly and ask ourselves if this is true. Because if it is, then we need to change our hearts so that we can learn from that widow in Zarephath, so that we can learn from Naaman the Syrian. Because of all the people in Israel, God didn't touch any of those because they didn't have the faith. When the pagan centurion said, "Only say the word and my servant will be healed," the Lord said, "Never, never have I found this much faith in Israel." Quite a statement. Never. So what's he going to say about you and me? Is he going to look at us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You believed, you lived it. You are fantastic. Never had a better example in the world." Or is he going to look at us and say, "I tell you, I do not know you." I'll say, "But Lord, Lord, you did this and that and the other thing." Does he know us? Do we know him? Is the real question. Because if we truly know him, we're going to love him and we're going to live according to his way. That's the challenge put before all of us. So not an easy thing to listen to. Not an easy thing to take in. But a great opportunity for us to really look at a few people who really put their faith into practice. And then look at our own. It's not what's in the head, it's what's in the heart. We know what the truth is. Do we really believe it? Do we really live it?